Hey, y'all, it's Jen. So before we get into this episode, I just wanted to hop in here and address something. As you can tell, probably by the name of this episode, things get a little spooky. Now, I don't think that they get too spooky, so if you're sensitive, definitely keep listening. There's some really interesting stories that you don't want to miss out on. However, let's just say we might have had a third guest on the podcast. Here, let me just play this part for you. We recorded this at the very end of our chat. Okay, wait. One thing that I want to do really quick is,
okay,
if there's any sort of entity that has been paying attention to what we're doing,
oh my God, yes,
please leave a sound,
yes,
somewhere within this recording. I'm going to, yes, keep an ear out. Try and make it loud enough that I can pick it up. But yes, yeah, we should have put that out there in the very beginning.
Yes. Oh my God.
I'll let you know if anything happens. So let's just say yesterday was interesting. As I was editing the podcast, there were two different points where I heard noises that I hadn't heard before. Now, it could be explained away by the software that I'm using to edit glitching, or an interesting noise coming from outside that the editing software didn't cover up or take away. However, it doesn't feel like that to me. There are points in the podcast that you do hear planes flying over, and they sound like airplanes. And then there's other points in the podcast where you hear a car driving by, and it sounds like a car, or you hear a cat meowing, and it sounds like a cat, or you hear a dog bark, and it sounds like a dog. These noises that I'm talking about, it doesn't sound like anything that is a natural noise that belongs in that moment. Anyways, I'll be back at the very end of the episode to go over what I heard. I hope you enjoy today's episode with Quaylen. All right. Are you ready to get spooky?
I am ready.
Yeah. I love it. Hello, makers. Welcome to our studio, a brand new branch of the Making Conversation podcast, where we chat all about making the app and the act. I'm Jen, head of marketing here at Making, and my Making app username is Knit Pearl. So I am so excited for today's episode, y'all. If you've been listening for a bit, you might have heard me talk about the possibility of this episode happening. So we have a returning guest this week. He has been a part of the soul of Making for a while now, have made crochet patterns of our brand mascot Lentil for the app, joined us on TikTok for a while as a content creator, taught classes on the app, and more. You are always guaranteed to have a smile on your face when he's involved in something, and we are so very lucky to have him in our Making orbit. Just an all-around brilliant maker and creator. So without further ado, Quaylen Stark, everyone. Hello, Quaylen. Thank you for joining me.
Of course, it's always a pleasure.
So I'm sure a lot of the people that are listening know who you are. However, you intro yourself to our listeners?
I am Quaylen Stark. My pronouns are he, him, and I am on Making at Quo. That's Q-U-O-E. And I'm located in East Texas, a couple hours from Dallas. I have been a maker since birth, but I got serious about fiber crafting whenever I was probably freshman year of high school, and crocheted all through high school and college, and then started my knitting journey in about the middle of my college time, and really got serious about knitting and crochet and made it a full-time career also around the middle of my college time. I actually switched from nursing. I was going to become a nurse and then decided that knit and crochet was more my shush. So I switched halfway in through there, and I've been doing it ever since. And it's something that I love, and it's really, making is definitely a part of me. Probably my most preferred medium at the moment is knitting, but really any fiber art I absolutely love. And whenever I'm not knitting or doing fiber arts related stuff, I'm probably reading. A lot of the time I read audiobooks as I'm knitting, but I try to take the time as well to actually sit down with a physical book, because if not, I'm going to lose the ability to have patience enough to read actual words on paper. Sometimes it's hard, so I have to train myself to actually sit down and read. And I also love anything paranormal and supernatural. So that's also something that I spend time doing. I like going ghost hunting. I just recently went to a paranormal conference, which we're going to talk about. But that's what I usually spend most of my time doing.
You were on the podcast with Ashley back in the day. It was episode 95. And you talked about some paranormal things, in particular a story about how your grandma comes around to say hi. So, of course, the first thing I have to ask you is, do you have any new paranormal events to talk about?
Like I said, I did just go to a paranormal conference. I actually messaged you as soon as I was done with it because stuff happened.
Y'all, this text came in. This is when I was back in Palm Springs and I was about to head to dinner and I get this text from Quaylen. I'm actually going to read it. I'm going to read the text because I was like, oh my God, I cannot wait until May the 4th. Saturday, April 15th at 8:09 p.m. Girl, when we get on the podcast, you need to ask me about any new paranormal events for me. I'm at a paranormal convention right now, and I just got out of a psychic gallery. Wild shit went down. I wish I was recording sad face, crying emoji, skull emoji, and I just need to know what happened because I've been waiting since April 15th.
I love going to anything paranormal. I'm always signing up for it. I'm always dragging my boyfriend and my friend to anything that is remotely supernatural because I love it. And so there's actually a town close to me called Mineola, Texas, which is near Lyndale. If anybody knows, that's like where Miranda Lambert's from. That's their claim to fame. But Mineola actually back in the day was called Sodom. That was its unincorporated name was Sodom, like Sodom and Gomorrah, because there were so many brothels that used to be back in that town. So it has a rich history already built into the town. And
so it's known for more than just Miranda Lambert, but maybe they don't want to talk about that other part.
Yeah. It's a very supernaturally inclined little town, I'll say that. And what's great about it is that it's such a random little spot out of nowhere, but there's so many people in that area that love paranormal stuff. And the town itself is also very haunted, supposedly. So every year they have a little convention out there. I went to the last one, and then I went to this one. And I love going to events with other paranormal centered people because most of the time, about 90% of the people are characters, which I love, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
They're like the people that's I had Bigfoot's baby, those kind of people. Somebody that's living in Twin Peaks, they would just be a character in a Lynchian fantasy world.
Oh, yeah.
I love those kinds of people. Honestly, ironically, they're just so amazing to me. But then there's also people there that are really serious into their stuff and they know their stuff. They have this really specific area of knowledge and they love to share it. So the conference itself was really good. But I also had the VIP experience, of course, because I had to treat myself.
Of course. Of course.
And it included a couple extra things, like I got a tarot reading, but there was also a psychic gallery. And then after the psychic gallery was a 6-hour ghost hunt, starting from 10 at night and going to 2 in the morning. Is that math correct? Yeah. No.
They had to have included 3 a.m. in there.
Yeah. No, so, it was to 4. That's what it was.
Don't ask me to do any math. I was like a gifted child in everything but math. Yeah. Math, I was like in the class, like throughout high school, that was like the opposite of gifted, and everything else, I was like getting A's. And it's, math, I don't know. Anyways,
I'm an English kind of kid for sure.
For sure. Okay. So 4 a.m., they went till 4 a.m.
Before the ghost hunt was the psychic gallery, which is basically like Teresa Caputo. I'm feeling a J name over here. That kind of thing.
I also love Teresa Caputo.
Oh, I love Teresa. Truly an icon. Truly an icon. Personally, I know I love paranormal and all that stuff, but surprisingly, I am really skeptical on a lot of it. Most of the stuff I do not really, I hold at a distance. I'm like, okay, girl. So with psychics, especially to me, because of my upbringing, I was raised as a Jehovah's Witness. We got into that on the last podcast with Ashley a lot.
Yes,
if somebody
yes.
wants to hear that. Episode 95, if y'all are interested.
It's a good one. Definitely go back and listen to it.
One of the things about witnesses that they are so against is psychics and spirituality, really any other spirituality other than Christianity. But specifically, they really go hardcore against psychics and like anything that has to do with spirituality that's like more esoteric and metaphysical. And they believe that psychics only talk to demons. That's it. So, yeah,
well,
since I was a child, I've always been like kind of scared of psychics. Once I like deconstructed that in my mind, never really believed necessarily in most psychics. I like spending my time also watching YouTube, like psychic fails, like Sylvia Brown being exposed. Like, I love that. It's hilarious to me.
Yeah.
So I convinced Race and Olivia to go with me to the psychic gallery. They really weren't into it, but I was like, we have to go because if it's terrible, it's going to be hilarious and so funny. And I can't wait to laugh at it. But if it's great, then it's great. So it's like a win.
Oh, 100%.
So we went. It was right before the ghost hunt. So I had all of my ghost hunting equipment with me in my bag. And I was ready. They were all ready to go to this ghost hunt. But I was like, let's see what the psychic has to say. Okay. So we get there. I put like all my stuff down under me. And Rice and Olivia and I are sitting in the back of this auditorium. It was a big room. So the psychic comes up and it's this lady from the beginning of the actual like paranormal conference was the loudest lady in there. And everybody, she was hamming it up with everybody. Everybody was her best friend. She knew every single person that worked at the con. They obviously were actual friends in real life.
Oh my gosh.
And so immediately Rice and Olivia were like looking at me like, oh my God, it's her. Really? She's the one that's the psychic. And I was like, oh, this is going to be so good. And she starts. And first thing she says right off the bat is, I'm seeing a gargoyle in the room. She also said, if anything connects to you, speak up. Just let me know that it's connecting to you. And then we'll go from there. So she's, I'm seeing a gargoyle in the room. And nobody says anything. Mm-hmm. And so off the bat, I'm like, Then she was like, I'm also seeing a cat. I'm seeing a cat in the room. And a lady was like, oh my God, my cat just died. And she's, oh my God, your cat just died. Girl, blah, blah, blah. And they're having a conversation. They're friends. They're like best friends. And I'm like, girl, you didn't know your best friend's cat died.
A bad best friend.
I was like, your best friend's cat died last week and you didn't know? Come on, girl.
Oh my God. Let's see. Whenever and any then, of my animals are gonna die, strangers will know. Like, how did she know?
That's why I'm like, girl.
Yeah, exactly.
Come on now. Come on now. You do. And she's, oh my God, Mittens or whatever the cat's name was.
Yeah.
I was like, girl, come on, be real. And so, I'll right off the bat, I'm like, okay, whatever. This psychic's like gonna be that kind of psychic. Mm-hmm. And so then the next 15 minutes, she starts talking to all of her friends in the room. And she's literally, I'm seeing somebody doesn't like clowns and cotton candy. And this, her other friend in the back, my dead husband hated clowns. Oh my God. And I'm like, girl.
Oh you my God.
You literally know her. You literally know her. And she's, oh my God, that's so crazy. And I'm like, girl, you knew that. I'm already dying. And this is great.
Yeah.
Pure literally entertainment. Literally the first 15 minutes was just like that. And Race and Olivia at that time were already ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, whatever. And also before I got there, I was like, oh my God, what if this is real? Who would come through for me if there was somebody on the other side that wanted to talk to me? And I thought about my grandpa and my dad who were both witnesses. And I knew that it could not be them because I've already had what I feel like really solid communication from my grandmother. My dad, maybe. But I knew that they would not use a psychic to come through and give me a message. That would not, right. Especially with the history of the witness stuff, they would not choose to use a psychic for sure. So it couldn't be them. So the only person that I could think of, and this was all in my head, nobody, I didn't tell anybody, was my uncle's fiance, Michelle, who passed away unexpectedly in 2019. And I had a great relationship with her. She was hilarious. I loved doing stuff with her. I actually taught her how to crochet. And on 2019's New Year, I like went down there and spent a few days up there with her. And we just sat and crocheted and bullshitted. And it was hilarious and so fun. And I really miss her dearly. But I chose her because I thought out of everybody, she would definitely be the one to communicate with me. And also, I was upset whenever she passed because I never got any sort of message from her. And she was also supernaturally inclined. She liked paranormal stuff. She liked horror. And my aunt actually would always message me being like, oh, yeah, I just got a message from Michelle. She's doing fine. And I'm like, why? If Michelle was giving somebody messages, it wouldn't be you, girl. It would be me. And so I was always upset that I never got a message from Michelle. So I was like, okay, it'll be Michelle. Back to the psychic. We're sitting there and she starts talking to another girl who I don't think that she knew. And she was like hitting on some stuff with her. And then out of nowhere, she looks over to our side of the room. She goes, there's somebody on that side of the room that really wants a specific person to come through for them. And so I was like, that could be me, but that could also be like anybody else in here. So I'm like, okay, maybe. She walks over to our side of the room, stands right in front of me and crosses her arms and just starts smiling. And I was like, okay. And I started laughing, just, oh my God, just laughing out loud at her.
Oh my God, I have full goosebumps right now.
So I'm literally, I was like, okay, girl, okay. Laughing. She's like, yeah, I knew it was you. And she was like, it's a feminine energy. And I was like, okay, 50-50 chance, girl. Sure. Yeah. And she was like, is she your mother or motherly? Because she's a very motherly energy. And I was like, it's not my mom. But yeah, I would say she's like motherly kind of energy. Mm-hmm. And she's like, yeah, I see that. She's like really funny. She's hilarious. I'm seeing red hair. And when she said red hair, that's when I was like, okay, maybe, because Michelle had dyed bright red hair. And oh, I was like, okay, that's a lot more specific. And that was right on, because it was like, to me, I'm like, okay, 50-50 chance, male or female. But to shoot your shot at a specific hair color that's not blonde or brunette, that's a lot more specific. And you could easily have gotten that wrong, but it was right on.
Yes.
And so I was like, okay, I'm going to listen to what you have to say, girl. Continue. And she was like, she's never given you a message before.
Oh, and my God.
I was like, no, she hasn't. I was like, this is crazy. No, she hasn't. She just wants you to know it's because she's been busy and that she's going to give you a message. You need to be patient, but she's going to. And she wants to let you know that you need to behave yourself, like teasingly. And it was like, I was just like, oh, my God, this is so crazy. And she was like, okay, also, the message that you're going to get from her is definitely going to be like something big. You're going to know whenever you get this message from her. And it's going to be something like maybe like electronical where she like pops out of a toaster oven or something crazy like that. Like you're going to know immediately that it's her. And I was like, okay, great. And she was like, yeah, she's doing great on the other side. She's just been busy. She's going to get to you when she gets to you. I was like, okay, this is perfect.
Oh, my God. What is she busy doing?
She's crocheting.
Probably. She's crocheting. Yes. Just making a whole collection.
Yeah. Wherever. Like, thanks for the knowledge, girl. Are.
Yeah, exactly.
So she walks away. And I'm really content with that. I'm like, this was a good show. You were accurate with what you told me. Yeah. I don't know about the stuff before, but You, I can't deny that. I will give that to you. Like 3-4 minutes go by, literally like not even 10 minutes. She's talking to other people. And then out of nowhere, there's a beeping sound in the room.
No.
And it's literally.
No. I know so, what it is. Oh my God.
It was literally like beep, 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 and it sounded like Morse code. And I turned to Olivia and Race. My face was like, really? I was like, she literally put something beeping in this place. I was like, scratch everything I said. This is all fake. I want my money back. I was like, how dare you? It's all this beeping sound. And she stops. Do y'all hear that too? And I was like, yeah, girl, we hear it. We hear it, girl. Everybody hears it. So it literally derails the whole thing. Everybody stops talking. Everybody's trying to find this beeping sound. So it starts off as like this Morse code-y sound. And then somebody was like, does anybody know Morse code? It's like, then it goes to this like long, like beep sound. And everybody gets up, starts looking for it. We're just sitting there. Oh my God. Okay, let's do this. People are looking for this beeping sound for like 5 minutes. We cannot find this shit. It sounds like it's coming from everywhere in the room. Then people start circling around our area. And I'm like, why are y'all getting so close to me? I grab my backpack off the ground.
Yep.
And the beeping is coming from my backpack.
Yep.
It's literally me that's making the beeping sound.
She's coming through.
I open my bag. It was my spirit box that was turned off. For people that don't know, spirit boxes are basically like little radios that cycle through radio stations. And sometimes words will pop out. And that's like supposedly a spirit trying to communicate with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
My spirit box was brand new. I haven't used it really much. And unbeknownst to me, it also has a temperature sensor that will go off if the temperature drops 5 degrees very quickly or increases 5 degrees very quickly. I have never used that temperature gauge. Didn't even really know how it worked. And like I said, it was off. And the temperature gauge went off. That's why whenever the sound was going off, I didn't even know what it sounded like because I'd never used it. Oh, and I was so, like, I grabbed it from my back and I was like, ah! Like screaming. And everybody in the room was like, oh my God, it's your sign. It's your sign. And we were all freaking out. Everybody was freaking out. It was so, so, it literally scared me. I was like, I need to leave.
Like, perfection.
It was amazing.
Oh my gosh. She was like, yeah, you have to wait. I'm going to give you this sign right now in front of everyone.
Literally. I was like, oh, really, girl? You had to make a spectacle of me. No, it was amazing. Oh, I really was like, oh my gosh. Then, like I said, after my thing happened, the energy shifted. And so she mentioned the gargoyle before. And then she also mentioned, she was like, I'm also getting a wedding ring that is just one wedding ring, which is unusual for me because whenever I usually get wedding rings, it's always in pairs, but this one's one wedding ring and there's like an issue with it. There's some issue that's underlying about this wedding ring. Nobody said anything. It didn't hit on anything for anybody. Then she was like, I'm also getting somebody was recently incarcerated, like a prison or jail sentence. There was something to do with somebody like being locked up and nobody hit on that. So then after me, she starts talking to other people. She goes up to this one lady and she's talking to her and she goes, oh yeah. And by the way, I just wrote and published a book about gargoyles. You didn't think that was important to say? She saw a gargoyle. And I was like, oh, okay. And then she goes up to another girl and she's like, yeah, I didn't think that this was important earlier, but I was gassing up yesterday at a gas station and I literally just found a wedding ring on the ground. I didn't know what to do with it. It's like a missing wedding ring that she had found. Like, why would you not say that? Whenever she was talking about the was to another girl and she's talking to her and she's like, yeah, also my ex-boyfriend just went to prison for murder. And like, I helped to put him away. And I was like, y'all.
Whoa. Whoa. I'm sorry. And the second part of that, like, you would think that would be a very fresh memory
Literally. And the lady was like, none of y'all are helping me out. I don't believe the beginning part of that experience was really super authentic. But I cannot deny the stuff that she hit on was really accurate, especially for me with that, the beeping. She couldn't have planned that. There was no way that she could have known.
No.
She didn't even know that I had anything with me.
Yeah.
And I didn't even tell my boyfriend that I picked Michelle. I can't deny my stuff. And I also can't deny those other people. She was saying these things that made her look so wrong in the moment. The gargoyle, the rings, the being in jail. And then they were like all in the back afterwards, proven to be like actually relevant.
Yeah.
So I can't deny those things. I'm like, okay.
Oh my gosh. That's amazing. I do have to ask. You went on the ghost hunt, right?
We did go to the ghost
hunt. I almost said, well, you went on the ghost adventures.
Yeah. I wish.
That's a whole nother, oh my gosh. Like, we could deep dive into all the drama on all of the paranormal shows. Zach Baggins
and all of them.
Right now.
Yes.
Like, Travel Channel is like exploding.
I have been watching all of the YouTube drama on that.
I don't really know what's happening. All I can say is that the shows that are getting canceled are better than the show that's not getting canceled.
Okay.
Know what I mean?
Can I get an amen?
Mm-hmm. I just outed myself as somebody who likes watching ghost hunt shows.
You're
and
in
I am
company.
Proud of it. Yes. I love it.
Have you watched Conjuring Kesha?
Of course I have. Oh,
delicious,
my God.
Delicious. Divine.
Stunning. I
Such
love
perfection.
It. I love it. It's so good. Okay, we could go on forever with this stuff. Okay, so you went on the ghost hunt?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
And we did get some contact. It was not to the extent of my psychic contact, but we did have really interesting things happen to us. We went to 5 different spots in Mineola. We went to a theater, a few antique shops, and one of them used to be a funeral home and mortuary.
Ooh.
And then we went to a graveyard. The graveyard, we got a few things. I was doing what's called the Estes method. And for people that don't know, it's when you take one person from your group and they put on headphones listening to the spirit box, and they cannot hear any outside stuff from other people.
I love that.
Basically, they're listening to the spirit box and just saying out loud whatever is coming through on the spirit box. So it'll cycle through the channels and you'll get words that you can hear. It'll just like be little random words like bag or like whatever. And the theory is that if you ask questions out loud, somebody else asks questions, that the answers that they're getting from the spirit box can be answers to those questions that you're like speaking out loud. So we did a lot of that. And we got some communication. I actually got all of the ghost hunt on video. So I have all the ghost hunting footage. I'm going to do a music video. I'm working with my friend Sleepa Xvision, who is an amazing artist. And I'm going to be doing a song about ghost hunting with them. And I'm going to use all that footage for a video. So y'all be on the lookout for that.
Oh, yeah.
So we did that at the cemetery.
Okay.
And we got a lot of different messages from the cemetery that were unique because we've moved to different areas of the cemetery. And we got a lot of the same answers at each stop. The word run kept coming through. I don't think it didn't feel like it was telling us to run. It felt like the person was communicating that they used to like to run. And then I asked about if they were like maybe a track person or something from school. And I think that they said yes. I'd have to look back. But running kept coming up. Fathers kept coming up. It kept saying dad. And also, it said gay multiple times. And I was like, this is a hate crime. Then I was doing the Estes method. I had the headphones on. And literally, it's cycling through. And I don't know what's going on. I have my back turned. I can't hear anything. It's pitch black outside. Race was talking at the time, asking questions, which it was usually Olivia. And whenever Race started talking, it said, you're gay. while I had my headphones on.
Some stuffy and so spirit.
I was like, oh my gosh. Then we did the theater, which was also pretty great. And we again got some messages. That ghost was a little more hostile, I would say. Like, really wanted us out of there. And we were also with some other people, which the ghost hunt themselves was like a do-it-yourself kind of thing. They had staff members at each area, but those staff members didn't really go with you to do the ghost hunt stuff. They were only there if you needed them or you wanted to ask them questions. So we were with another group of people that I didn't really like their vibes. Their vibes were off. And so I was like, okay, I don't want to be with y'all. And that's why I think that we were getting signed up that negative energy coming in was because their vibes were off. And they were like that Zach Baggins kind of person where I was
God.
Oh, yeah, ghost, if you're here, punch me, slap me in the face. And it's like, dude, get out of here. We left there early, but we were getting stuff. I just didn't like those people. We went to the antique shop, and the antique shop's where we got the most crazy kind of stuff, weird, really odd things. And the antique shop used to have the brothel upstairs. And we were walking up. We didn't really know any of the history other than that going in. Did not talk to any of the hosts that were there. We were walking up the stairs and there was people coming down and there was a girl that was there and she was like, I just got scratched on my back. And she lifted up her shirt, claw marks on her back.
Was it three? Literally. Three claw marks?
Yes, I think so.
Oh, God.
And I was like, ooh, I don't know if we should be going up here. I don't know if I want to get scratched.
It's a spicy spot. Yeah. No one wants to get scratched. That's terrifying.
We went upstairs and it's, again, pitch black. It's 2 a.m. at this point. And so we go into a room. We all sit down and we start doing the Estes method again. Mm-hmm. I'm asking questions and we're getting some answers. And I think that we're like talking to somebody. And so I was getting really excited. And then I wanted to know who we were communicating with. So I asked, hey, what's your name? And as soon as I asked, what's your name? Olivia, who was doing the estimate, says Will, like right off the bat, like immediately. Then Race was like, I'm really not feeling good. Like, I'm feeling sick. I think we need to leave. And I was like, okay, so we're packing up all the stuff and I'm going, like, trying to go quickly. And you could tell that he was getting really irritable and like irritated. Mm. He's like, we need to go like right now. We need to go fast. And so I'm like, okay, so like we get out of there and we go downstairs and we talk to the host. We go up to her. And as we're walking downstairs, Olivia, something just grabbed my ass.
No. Will, keep your hands to yourself.
Literally, excuse you.
Excuse you, Will.
We go downstairs and we talk to the host lady and we're like, hey, what can you tell us about the history of this place? And she's like, basically told us about the brothel, but also said that upstairs, a lot of the female guests report being touched. At which obviously just happened to Olivia. And then she was also, I was also like, do y'all have any specific ghosts that come through for y'all that people know specifically? And she goes, well, yeah, there's Will.
Oh my God.
And I was like, that was so crazy to me because I was like, oh my gosh. We literally had no idea going in.
Will.
That there was this Will character.
Yeah. Oh my God.
That was definitely the creepiest thing of the ghost hunt for sure for me.
Will needs to calm down and stop touching people.
Seriously.
At least like that. It was scratched great, down the back. If that was Will, that's rude. Everything was rude. That
literally.
Will is rude. Everyone grab your project because we've got some stuff to talk about. Quaylen, what are you gonna talk about with your topic today?
So of course I wanted to talk about anything supernatural. Obviously, that has been today's topic of discussion is supernatural, paranormal, metaphysical, and really how that stuff can easily and often intersect with fiber arts and crafting in general.
I've got some ghost stories, some crafty related ghost stories. We'll just leave it at that.
I'm ready to hear them.
Oh, I'm so excited. Some are from the community. Some are from the research that I did. Like I said, y'all, we're already pretty far into this and we haven't even started.
Okay.
Grab your project and let's go.
So whenever you approached me about wanting to do a podcast, obviously I immediately wanted to talk about supernatural things. Whenever I had my conversation with Ashley, it was great to dip my toe in that a little bit with y'all, and y'all were very receptive of it. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, these are my people. We can discuss all the strange happenings of the world. So I really wanted to talk about something that has been interesting me recently, which is ties between magic and witchcraft and fiber arts. So when you look at the word craft, its roots are in the word craft, which is C-R-A-E-F-T, with the A and the E being together. It's one of those fancy letters. And I know that a lot of people listening will be familiar with the book that was popular a couple years ago called Craft, An Inquiry into the Origins and True Meanings of Traditional Crafts. And that is by Alexander Langlands. And in that book, Alexander really dives into the origins of crafting and what crafting means in the modern age, as opposed to the historical times. But he also brings up the actual etymological origins of that word. And like I said, the word craft comes from the Old English word craft, which means skill, art, or talent. And it's related also to the German word Kunst, meaning art or skill, and the Old Norse word krafter, meaning strength or power. And over the years, of course, it's evolved to encompass a lot more areas that we would consider crafts today. But craft in itself is one of those root words that we see pop up in other words like woodcraft, handicraft, and of course, lest we forget, witchcraft, which according to Langland also has direct ties to the word craft. And to me, it makes a lot of sense that witchcraft would be tied to craft, because when you think of it, who's more crafty than witches of all kinds? Whether it's collecting herbs or spinning yarns, whenever I think of witches, I really think of craftspeople. And that's not really just my opinion. There's a lot of history that ties the fiber arts to magic and spiritual practices. So one of the earliest known uses of fiber arts in witchcraft was the practice of knot magic, also known as cord magic. So in your head, just imagine a knot, a simple, regular, degular knot. Now, that knot, think of what the symbology of that knot could mean. What do knots do? Knots literally tie things together. They fasten one object to another. They keep objects stationary. They literally bind things together. And bind is one of those words that pop up in magic, not even related to knots. So that word and knots as a symbol is really a powerful symbol. And it's really easy to see how knots can be incorporated into its own branch of magical practice. So the actual process of knot magic involves tying knots into a string of yarn while reciting spells or affirmations. And the knotted cord can then be worn or carried as a talisman or placed somewhere. And another magical fiber art that can fall under knot magic is a witch's ladder, which is a length of string with feathers and bones and other objects that can be tied in regular intervals. And the witch's ladder can be used in spells for protection, healing, and prosperity. And on a personal note, knot magic reminds me of my own affirmation practices that I've been working on in my own crafting rituals. Ashley and I talked a lot the last time I was on the podcast, which is episode 95.
95.
About the laws of attraction. And I am a really firm believer in affirmations and putting out your intentions into the world. And so for me, knitting something stockinette in the round is as close to meditation as I have ever been. So I find that I can use that time to focus my intentions and knit my goals really into reality. So I'll just sit there And I think that the meditative properties of knitting, I think a lot of knitters can really understand their experience with. And of course, this can also apply to any other fiber art that you're doing the same thing over and over. But I will take my knitting. I usually am knitting a beanie whenever I'm doing this because it's something simple, small, and in the round. And I will focus whatever intention at the time that I'm doing. So if I really wanted a contract for freelancing, like a job and opportunity, I'll focus my intentions on that. And I always do it as if I've already had that thing happen to me and I'm approaching it from a place of gratitude that that experience happened to me. So by doing that and acting as if it's something that is so sure in my mind that to me it's already happened, that I think is what really helps to not only focus myself while knitting, but use that law of attraction and use that affirmation to bring that forth in the world. And I've had a lot of success in doing that. Mm-hmm. And I've also thought of other ways. Thank you. Mm-hmm. It's really fun and easy to do. Mm-hmm. And I've thought of other ways to also imbue more magic into my work. Like I carry around a citrine crystal in my project bag, which is supposed to foster creativity and self-expression. And my friend Cyberwench makes really beautiful jewelry and uses a lot of sigils in their work. And that's something I've thought of incorporating into my own practice for those projects because it would put even more positive energy and intention into those things.
Something that I've really wanted to incorporate into my making practice is pulling a tarot card before I start a project and just seeing what it says and trying to connect that to maybe something in my life and, like, you know, using the meditation that you get from knitting to focus on that. I keep forgetting, again, ADHD, hello. And I think that also, like, for people who are not necessarily into, like, crystals and all of this, even just talking about, like, setting intentions and putting good energy out into the world when you're thinking about how something's going to go or when you're wanting something to happen, like, that's real. Like, that is, I know so many people who have been like, okay, this is going to happen because I'm setting this intention and I'm putting it out into the world and we're going to will it to happen. Mm-hmm. I think that there's something so powerful about utilizing your own thoughts in such a positive way to, like, tell the universe that you're ready to take this thing.
Exactly.
I love it.
So the fiber arts aren't just tied to quote unquote magical or witchy things. They're also incorporated into a lot of other spiritual practices throughout the world. Like from our area of the world, indigenous people in the Americas have their own spiritual fiber crafting, like dream catchers made by Ojibwa artisans, or the Ojo de Dios or God's Eye weavings from the Huichol people who are indigenous to Mexico. And I know a bit more about the Ojo de Dios history because we would make them in school when I was growing up. And those weavings, I'm sure a lot of people have seen them. They're like two pieces of wood that have a yarn woven around them in like a square. Mm-hmm. And those can be made for protection with the center color section representing the sun and the power of seeing and understanding things that we can't necessarily see with our own naked eye.
Beautiful. I love that you made those in school and they taught you about that. That's wonderful. So cool.
Yeah, I didn't tell my witness parents at the time. I was like, I'm just going to keep this to myself.
Yeah. This is a secret, but it's a secret we love. I think we can all learn a little bit about putting out goodness into the world and positivity through all of this. As we do every week, we're going to talk about what we're working on. Anything creative in your life? Quaylen, what's been a creative part of your life lately?
I have actually been working on one project in particular, which is a full granny square outfit, like head to toe. And that has been taking up a lot of my time. I absolutely love granny squares. I've always loved the folk artness of it. It really, to me, a granny square is just as classic Americana as a handmade quilt.
Yes.
And so I've been doing this outfit, and it's also been one of those things that's very meditative for me, where I can just sit down and watch TV while making this. Usually I'm watching a paranormal show. And that's been really taking up a lot of my time. But I've also, whenever I'm not doing that, taken a break from other projects. I really tried to lay low a bit and conserve my energy, just chill out, take a little break. I've been doing so much recently that I've gotten a little burned out. So I'm trying to take the time to just relax and recharge all of that. And it's really been a positive force in my life. And whenever I'm doing that, I'm usually either listening to a podcast or audiobook or watching TV. And as for what I'm watching at the moment, it's usually rewatching Hellier by my friend mm-hmm. Dana Newkirk and her husband Greg Newkirk. Mm-hmm. And it is a great paranormal documentary series. There's two seasons out right now, and I highly recommend it. It's Hellier, and it's on Amazon Prime and YouTube, okay. I believe. So I'm usually rewatching that. They also have a podcast that I really like on YouTube called The Haunted Objects Podcast, which is another great one. Mm. So that's what I like listening to and what I've been up to for making.
So I'm still, I know, everyone that has been listening every week, they're like, Jen's probably still working on that embroidery piece. And guess what? I am. I love it so much, though. It's from Stitch Happy. I actually had never seen her stuff until she posted on Making one day. And mm-hmm. I saw this kit, and it's called Tattooed Shoulders. And it's basically like the outline of a human who has a bun, and it's from the back. And then the shoulders are all these flowers. And mm-hmm. because it is my first one, I am being, like I said before, I'm being very precious about it. Okay. That will soon change, I'm sure. Also, it has a lot of French knots, and I'm not a French knot. Like, I wouldn't win first place for French knots. And because I'm being so precious about it, I like keep redoing them. Anyways.
Yeah.
My goal is to have it done by the next podcast so I can say that I'm working on something different. But speaking of granny squares, this month's Bright Collective has a granny square vest. And I'm going to start looking at different colors. I think I want to go with like fall tones and make it from that. But yeah. I'm really excited about that. So if you are interested in what that looks like, we've posted things in the Making app and also on Instagram, and it's very size inclusive. The photo is of a child wearing it only because the sample that was sent was the smallest size. So, but it's really cute. I'm excited about that. So hopefully I can get going on that soon. And my garden up on the roof she's thriving so far. It's only been almost a week, but so far nothing has died, which is
fabulous.
Good. And soon I will have tomatoes and peppers and spinach. And she's an urban farmer, y'all. Mm. And then I'm still watching Vanderpump Rules. I am on season 2 so far. My friend Modesto has a podcast. It's all about Bravo. And I recently texted him and I was like, I'm so far behind. I need to catch up before they do the reunion. What seasons can I miss? Because I've heard from several people that you can just skip a bunch of seasons, but there's mm-hmm. definitely seasons you need to watch. So my instruction for Modesto is to go through season 4, and then I can skip and watch season 10. So I got to catch up here.
Yes.
Because I've somehow missed every spoiler that is put out into this world, and I know nothing about the Scandoval. So I'm very excited to see what happens next. These people are all a hot mess. It is. Very interesting. And then Ted Lasso, of course. This show, it's nothing has ever been made like it. Have you watched Ted Lasso at all?
I am not a Ted Lasso person.
Got it.
But
okay.
I know a lot of people that are.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a Yellow Jackets person.
Okay. I've also been watching Yellow Jackets. I'm behind, though, because so many times I open up my iPad or I am sitting at the TV, and because like even when I'm cleaning and stuff or like cooking, like I'll either have a podcast on or I'll have one of my TV shows on my iPad. And if my partner isn't around and I'm just going through the motions, funny enough, every time I go to watch this episode that I've been stuck on with Yellow Jackets. I'm eating. And I don't know. For the people who have been watching Yellow Jackets, there's a part that it's not, you're not going to be eating around that episode. Yeah. Or if you are, you have an iron stomach. So once I get caught up, I'll text you.
You have to catch up.
I will.
Very quickly, because episode six is about to come out, and that one's supposed to be major.
All right. I will catch up, and I'll let you know. I'm very excited. I'll text you when I'm there. Okay. So are you all ready for some ghost stories?
I'm dying for it. I am so ready.
All right. So, Quaylen, when I first asked you, and we touched on this a little bit, but when I first asked you if you wanted to be on the podcast again, I had this idea of what I wanted us to talk about, but it felt like it might be too hard to like find examples and do all of that research. So I sent you a few other ideas. And when I received your email back proposing the exact same idea that I was originally thinking, my mind was just blown. I was like, we are connected in the brain.
Great minds think alike.
Great minds. So yeah, I was going to ask if we could somehow do an episode of mixing the paranormal and crafting. And I just knew, I knew this episode was going to be good when you emailed that to me. So, of course, the intersection between paranormal and fiber arts was a little tricky to find certain things. So I still just had this like feeling of something saying to me, like, you can still do it. You can still talk about something paranormal. So I started thinking about it and I was like, okay, what could be haunted that's linked to like knitting or leather work, or painting? And I was like, wait, painting, art, museums. I was like, there's no way that there isn't a haunted museum story out there. So I went straight to work. Make sure you have your whip, light your candles, turn off the lights, and get cozy. It's time for some tales of haunted museums. I should have practiced like a spooky voice before we started.
It's very Vincent Price.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay. So I do want to be clear. I didn't experience any of these. So like take them for what you will. A lot of these came from like stories from the museum itself though. So I'm going to guess like, I don't know. We're going to believe them because I feel like museum people are very trustworthy. They're just like smart and trustworthy and we love them. Okay. So these first few I found from news.artnet.com in an article by Katie White. And then I did a little bit more digging around each one. Let's start with a visit to the Metropolitan Museum of Art. Hello, New York City. So there are two paranormal experts named Dr. Pete and Dr. Stu. Have you heard of these people?
I haven't.
They have roamed the halls of the Met with their equipment to see if anything will make themselves known. In an article in The Observer by Jordan Taylor, they asked if a human needs to have died in the museum for energies to be roaming the halls. Dr. Stu answered, "I always say that ghosts just like to have fun."
Yeah.
When I die, I have a list of places to go to. And
for sure. For sure.
They're all going to be fun places. I agree with Dr. Stu. Basically, in other words, if a spirit enjoyed art museums during their time in the physical world, then they might fancy a stroll through the Met in the afterlife. So they moved into the European Sculpture and Decorative Arts Wing, where they received an EMF spike, just in case you are not a ghostly TV show lover or a ghost hunter as Quaylen is. I'll tell you what EMF is. So from ghoststop.com, which I've never been to that website before, so it seemed like a good response to this, but I don't know ghoststop.com. I cannot vouch for them. However, EMF meters measure fluctuations in electromagnetic fields. Theories from within the branch of paranormal investigations suggest that ghosts have the ability to manipulate these fields. An EMF meter is a staple piece of equipment used to detect sources of EMFs or possible manipulation in order to document and promote potential communication with the entities. Do you have an EMF detector?
I do. I have, I think, just one. But actually, in Mineola, it's really strange because usually EMF detectors They have a strip of lights on them. It's five or six lights, and it ranges from green to red, with red being like the highest that the EMF detector will go. Usually, EMF detectors only stay around one or two lights lit up at any time. In Mineola itself, no matter where you are in Mineola, it's like halfway through all of the lights anywhere in Mineola, which is very strange. But I haven't had really any experiences in Mineola where it goes higher than that. But the fact that it stays in that mid-range is very unusual.
Okay. I think I've been convinced that I'm next time you go to a paranormal conference, I'm inviting myself. And
of course,
we're gonna do this together.
Of course. We also need to go to the Twin Peaks one in Washington.
Okay.
Which is adjacent.
So I'll come to you. You come to me. We will.
Yes.
We'll make a whole thing of it. I love this. Okay. All right. Back to the Met. So they're in a room containing Louis XV's oak writing table, and they get this EMF spike. So they pull out the EVP recorders. We're explaining a lot here because I don't know how many of the people that are listening know everything, but EVP stands for electric voice phenomenon. And these are often sounds and voices that are interpreted as spirit voices from the paranormal community. I'm assuming you have an EVP recorder.
You can get a specific one.
Mm-hmm.
You can also just use a regular recording device with a little cassette in them, the little mini cassettes, or you can just use your phone. You don't have to have a really specific one to do it,
right.
But they do make those ones. Usually those ones are like marked up at a lot higher cost.
Yeah.
But you can get those.
Using your phone, that makes total sense. We all have an EVP recorder. Okay, so from the Observer article that I mentioned earlier, they say this. Dr. Pete produced his electronic voice phenomenon recorder, EVP recorder, in hopes of communicating with the energy. If anybody's here, we'd love to speak with you, Dr. Pete said aloud. As the recorder ran, we each asked questions. Are you a man? Do you work here? When did you exist in the physical world? And then they played it back. There was a ghostly hiss in response to one of the questions. So I really tried hard to see if I could find like the tape or like a recording of this. I was like so hopeful. Unfortunately, I could not, but maybe that's for the best because who knows? I don't know.
Maybe I can act it out for y'all.
Okay, ready? Oh, there it is.
Oh my gosh.
Maybe it was a ghost snake. I'm a snake.
I'm a slow little snake. Snake.
Oh my gosh. I love this so much. Okay. So another spirit sighting at the Met. If you visit the Henry R. Luce Center for the Study of American Art, you might be lucky enough to spot the young girl running up and down the halls. She apparently can be heard giggling and being super chatty. This is like basically what I'm going to be doing. You're going to be able to hear my laugh.
For sure.
When I've crossed over, you'll know I'm around when you hear my cackle.
I'm going to be slithering around like a little sneaky ghost snake. Just hissing into EVP recorders.
All right. So if you hear a cackle and a hiss, that means that Quaylen and I are hanging out together during your ghost hunt. So the museum lore is that she was maybe the child of a previous employee. I can only imagine having a parent work at the Met and then being like a kid in the before you're no longer on this earth and just like running around.
That would be amazing. Also, yeah. I'm surprised that they haven't. At least you haven't touched on it yet, I don't think. But that they haven't mentioned the fact that all of these things could also be attached to things that are actually in the museums. It's like in the antique shops, too. That's why antique shops have a lot of stuff. You're always bringing in new things that have a lot of energy attached to them.
Yeah.
They have history. It's built into those things. So it could also be like any number of things in those museums, too.
Oh, 100%. 100%. Yeah, that's a very good point. I don't know, a little ghost girl, where that could be attached to anything. Ooh.
I need to talk to Dr. Sue.
Yes, you do. We need to get down to business, Dr. Stew. Tell us everything. I think that they said that Dr. Stew and what was the other guy's name again? Oh my God.
Dr. Phil.
My brain. Dr. Phil. God. Let's not talk about Dr. Phil right now. That guy's problematic. Dr. Pete and Dr. Stew. So I think Pete. I remember, yes, Pete. I think I remember reading that they actually do a ghost hunt or have in the past.
Oh, like, that would them. Be amazing.
All right. We're going to get a little spookier. And with that, we head over to the Cleve and back to the year 2015. So the curators at the Cleveland Art Museum were finishing up the exhibition, Painting the Modern Garden, Monet to Matisse, when they realized that a man was looking over from the balcony. It was Monet.
Oh my gosh.
Long beard, check. Signature bowler hat, check. They snapped a photo, and oh my God, Quaylen, it is wild. So the photo shows him.
Photographic evidence.
Yes. The photo shows him standing like over the balcony, kind of like looking down, like he's, I don't know, he's like making sure that his art is properly displayed. And then underneath the photo is like a photo of him that they put up in the gallery, and it's the same person. It's the same person. It is wild.
Definitely post that I'm making because I need to go.
Oh, yeah. I usually do a little carousel roundup on the Making app, and then I do post it on Instagram just to let people know, hey, we've got cool stuff on this podcast, and yes, this is what we're talking about. So come listen. Anyways, that is definitely going up. They also say that the former museum director, William Mathewson Milliken, is seen wandering the halls in his fancy tweed jacket. Another reported repeat sighting, I love this one, by the way, is the subject of Jacques-André Joseph's portrait of Jean-Gabriel Dufil at the signing of the Treaty of Vienna. So the person that Jacques-André Joseph painted has been seen looking at the painting of himself, and then he vanishes.
I would definitely do that, too.
Oh, yeah. So, like, from the research that I did, that I don't think that painting is there. But then, like, when they took it away, people stopped seeing that person. Who doesn't find themselves looking at themselves in, like, a Zoom meeting?
Yeah.
That's like, similar. If somebody painted
a
painting of me and it was hanging in a museum, I would be like, okay, I'm going to go look at myself. I like it. I mean, I hope he likes it at least. What if he's standing there and he's
that
this person did not like do a good job?
The pay adds 10 pounds.
Man, I really need to get a new hairstyle.
Literally. Oh my God, he didn't tell me the whole time I had a booger in my nose.
What the heck? Why didn't you tell me? So now we head to the Minneapolis Institute of Art, where they have a collection of ghost stories from people who have worked there or currently work there. Apparently, the Tudor Room has a very active ghost. Back in 2009, a member of the janitorial staff was doing their thing outside of the Tudor Room around 10 p.m. when all of a sudden, he hears a door open and footsteps. At first, he thought it was a guard from the security staff, and no one walked past him. And he was at the only entrance and exit to the room.
Oh, I feel like it's always the janitors. I feel so bad for the janitors.
I know. They're just trying
to do their thing.
Oh, or like just get together and like tell us all the ghost stories. Make it a thing. Yes. Like maybe it's like the janitor's book of ghost stories.
But could you imagine just like finishing mopping up a room and then there's ghost footprints? You got to redo the whole thing.
Speaking of ghost footprints, we're going to go on another side quest together, but it's kind of related. One of my very clear memories of being a child, so I was six. So this air date, it was October 5th, 1988. And I'm sitting there with my dad. Mm-hmm. And he's watching the first episode of Unsolved Mysteries.
Oh, wow.
We were just sitting there and we were watching this. I was terrified because I'm six.
Yeah.
And there's a scene in the first episode where they're at a hotel. And they're at a pool, and all of a sudden they use like, it's like 1988 technology, right? All of a sudden, these wet footprints show up on the pool deck.
Terrifying.
So, like, I had this memory for so long, and it was, like, the first time that I started feeling like I was scared in my house. There was some weird energy, and I've talked to my mom about this, actually. I never saw anything, but it was just this feeling. And, of course, it could just be, like, a scared kid that watched this Unsolved Mysteries episode that had these like footprints magically appearing next to a pool. But I was always felt like at night there was like this weird energy at the other end of the house. And it wasn't scary. It was like you turn off the lights and you run to your room type of situation. Yeah, they're not going to do anything, but it's just like eerie.
It's there.
It's there though.
You can feel it.
And so I finally told my mom this a couple of years ago. I told her about like the weirdness that I felt in the house because she was selling the house. I said, do you know the history of the house? Who had it before? And she was like, oh, yeah. The guy who had it before was like a doctor of some sort. I don't remember what kind, but he passed away suddenly, not in the house, though. He was playing golf and he got like hit in the head with a golf ball and died.
Oof.
And that was the person who owned the house before us.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I feel like it's him.
I had very similar experience growing up. My house, the second house that we lived in, we moved in when I was in third grade. And we actually went to the open house thing in there. And the guy, it was his mom's house. His mom had passed away. And he was talking to us, like showing us the different rooms. And he showed us my sister's room. And he was like, yeah. There was one night whenever I was laying in this room going to sleep. This used to be my room. And one night I woke up and there was a man standing over me with long hair. And then I got up out of bed and I chased him around the house and he disappeared. And that was Jesus. And Jesus was there with me.
That is not so where terrible. I thought that was going.
He was like, yeah, that was Jesus. And it scared me so bad. And I was like, Amory, that is your room. That is not my room. And ever since then, I was terrified. And he was like, talk about chasing him around with a bat. And I was like, if it was Jesus, why are you going to hit him like that? I was like, okay, dude. But literally after that, and we like lived there for years, I would have that same kind of feeling where it's like every night there's like something there. It's like this energy that you can feel and it's icky. It doesn't feel like it's going to come up and like eat you, but it's just like this ever there presence. And it's usually only at night that I would really get freaked out about it.
100%. Yeah. During the day, it was like, whatever. We just had fun and did our kid thing and ran around and did art and all these different things that we were into. And then the moment it would be bedtime and we'd be turning out the lights, it would be like, turn out the light, run to the hallway, turn out the light, run into your room, close the door.
Under the covers.
Yeah, under the covers. I still have to always have covers on me. That's like a thing.
For sure.
Oh, for sure. If I like wake up and I'm like half out, I'm like, nope. I don't want some random thing touching me. Now we've gone on our side quest. Let us head back to the Minneapolis Institute of Art. This member of the janitorial staff. So anyways, he hears this noise of footsteps. He was next to the only entrance and exit to the room. So he went in and checked the room and no one was there. He even asked the only guard that was active that night that would have been watching that floor, and they said that they hadn't been on that floor at 10 at night that night. And then in 2007, a guard was turning on the lights in the morning, which is supposed to be like the safe time, right? What the heck?
Yeah.
So after he turned on the lights, he heard one of the chairs scraping across the floor. And then another scraping noise, like somebody was getting out of the chair. He went back to investigate, and no one was there. I want to know who's haunting this tutor room.
Maybe
I want to know who it is.
A math tutor. We need a math tutor.
This math tutor, someday Jen and Quaylen will know about me.
And we're just like,
let's join up in the afterlife and go haunt this tutor room, or at least figure out who's there. Maybe we'll finally be good at math.
It's like Fibonacci or somebody's in there. Hey.
So what's cool is they have these recorded. Some of the recordings are the actual people who experience these things. So you can hear more at artsmia.org/haunted-MIA. So we're going to round out these haunted artsy stories with a visit to San Francisco, specifically the Bell Tower at the San Francisco Art Institute. This bell tower is so haunted that they have decided to no longer let the public visit it.
Ooh.
They've blocked it off. You can't go up there. These are the stories that came out of it, though. In the 40s, one of the night watchmen reported hearing somebody running up the stairs. They started prepping to attack the intruder, but as the steps got closer and the door swung open, no one was there. The steps kept moving out onto the observation deck, and then the ghost was like, bye, you can't see me, ha ha ha. I would be like, a door swinging open and nothing being there. Of course, sometimes you can debunk that stuff as the wind or like a faulty latch, but if there was none of that, would be maybe one of the most terrifying things. Besides getting my butt grabbed and not knowing who did it.
Yeah. Or having something go off in your bag that you don't even know about.
Oh my God.
I was literally like, I literally have to leave.
Yeah, I understand. They got more reports after that, but they still decided to renovate the tower in the 60s. It is believed that in some cases, renovations can disturb potential paranormal activity or trigger supernatural events in a haunted space. I think that there's so many ghost shows where the ghost hunters go in because the people are renovating.
If I was a ghost and somebody just started tearing out my kitchen, I'd be pissed. You don't like the wallpaper I put up?
It's like that wallpaper from the early 80s with chickens on it.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yes.
The banner around the kitchen, that wallpaper
literally my grandmother's kitchen.
Oh my God. We had that too. So additionally, renovations can also disrupt the energy flow of a space, creating disturbances that may lead to feelings of unease or discomfort. So taking that into consideration, I saw that they renovated and I was like, ooh, what happened next? As they were renovating, the crew that was working on it started hearing disembodied screams.
Oh, that's what I'm here for.
Oh, my God. And equipment was destroyed. And I was trying to find what that meant. I could not find any more information. But what does destroyed mean?
Yeah.
What does that mean? And
so when we did our ghost hunts, that's another phenomenon that's very common. But my battery for my camera died immediately. And it was brand new. I just charged it. And I've also heard of a lot of things being corrupted, files being corrupted as well.
Oh, yes.
So that could be what they mean. I would be really interested if it was the cameras themselves were never able to be used again or something.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
That would be cool.
I wish I knew more. So the workers that were doing the renovation ended up quitting because of all of this. It was too much. They couldn't handle it.
Yeah.
So I did make a mad dash to my socials yesterday and put out this last minute call. I can't believe I didn't think about this before, but I put out a last minute call for crafty ghost stories. And a few of y'all really delivered. If you are hearing this and you have any crafty paranormal stories, your grandma that taught you how to knit or crochet comes to visit you, or you have a crafty store that is haunted, we want to hear it. So send them to hq@makingco.com and we will definitely be reading them on future podcasts. The first one that we are going to be talking about, let me pull up the Making app because it's somebody that responded directly to my ask.
I also have been stalking that to make sure, see if there's any other comments up on there.
I am
so ready.
So far, everyone is really excited about this podcast. There was lots of comments of, oh, I don't have any stories, but I'm so excited to listen. So we did get one comment in the Making app from Arden213, and their name is Arden. So this is what Arden has to say. There is an entity that I named Ghost Kitty who visits me when I'm relaxed and knitting. I feel it jump on my bed and settle down in the covers. She has visited me at home or on vacation. I was a little anxious when she first started visiting, and now I feel okay with her. I am happy that she likes to curl up at my feet. I don't know who she is, as my cat was still alive when she first came to me. She will also curl up with any other animal I have with me.
That is amazing. I love that so much.
So
that is so perfect.
I had a cat named Margaret Yang. If you've ever seen Rushmore, it's one of my favorite movies. So of course I had to name her after that. So her name is Margaret Yang. I had her for 18 years and she passed away. She was just old, still very devastating to me because I had her through a lot of the big things in life. I got her when I was 19.
Yeah.
And I've never really had, besides like the creepy like vibe of my house when the lights were out growing up, I've never really had an experience. And I've always been very open to it, but it just never happened. Or it did and I didn't recognize it. Mm-hmm. And after she passed away, I started feeling at night this, like, it felt like a cat walking across my feet when we were in bed. And I would look around, and of course I have a cat. So the first thing I'm thinking is like, oh, Bella's down there. Bella was not down there. So she passed away in an apartment. And then when I moved in with my partner is when it started happening. We had the vet come to the house because I couldn't do it any other way. And she passed away in the apartment. And then when I moved, I was like so scared that if her soul was still there, that it wouldn't follow. And of course, we were like connected. I truly believe that. And so, of course, she's going to follow. But it was like what happened like a month before we moved. So I was just like,
yeah, I'd have been worried.
Still
about that
feeling
too.
That. I was like still really grieving. And all of a sudden, we're laying there. And this was after we got Marcello. So it had been a few months after we had moved. And I felt the time that to rescue another animal. And so it wasn't Bella. And it wasn't Marcello, because Marcello was like curled up next to us and Bella wasn't even in the room. And I felt it and I'm like, okay, my mind's playing tricks on me. Like, I just miss Margaret. Mm-hmm. She used to walk across my feet all the time. It's happened several times since then. Mm-hmm. Even moving to this house. One of my other favorite things is when I'm scrolling TikTok is when intuitive people are like on lives and they're doing readings.
Yeah.
So this woman, I'm totally spacing on her name and I'm so sorry, but I was watching her live and she was just like, hey, if anyone has questions, just throw them in the chat. I'll try and answer as many as I can. And so I put in there, hey, sometimes I feel a cat walking across my feet at night. Is it just my brain thinking like missing Margaret, or is it like something more? And this woman keeps talking and then she starts scratching her head, which means like I've seen her lives before. That means she's about to like feel something. Mm-hmm. She starts scratching her head and she goes, wait, there was a comment that I just saw a little bit ago about a cat. I'm going to go back to that. So you feel the cat walk. Yes, that's your cat. The cat was mostly black, right? Yes, that's definitely your cat. So it's just your cat saying hi. And of course, again, she could like a mostly black cat. Like how many cats are mostly black? It just felt right. It feels like she knows what she's doing. She's legit. And so I was just like, oh my God. Anyways, that's my connection to the ghost kitty story that Arden put in the making.
I would also take those as a sign as well. I definitely feel like your kitty's just coming to say hi.
I know. My Margaret Yang.
Like, hey. And this story I love. I would love to have an experience like that where it's just a ghost cat just coming and chilling, saying hi while I'm crafting. That would be amazing. As for the story itself, I wonder if they had a cat previously, maybe when they were younger. I would be curious to know that, because I guess it could be a cat from any time in their life. But also, on the spiritual side of things, if there are ghosts, which I mean, I definitely have had experiences, so I'm more inclined to say that there's definitely other things on the other side that we don't know about.
Yeah.
I don't think that their time frame would be as linear as ours. I think that they would have a lot more free range of motion within time. Who's to say that it couldn't be like that cat that you already have, just in a different time? I don't know. That's more esoteric.
Oh my God. But I love that. But that makes total sense. Yeah. If this is a thing, they're like, I feel like across the veil, if you will. Time is very different, like you said.
Yeah, I think it would definitely be a different kind of thing.
Yeah, that's amazing to think of it that way. Okay, Arden, I hope you hear this. And if you have any follow-up, please feel free to like DM me on the app or DM Quaylen or I don't know.
Or comment put it back in your
on
comment.
That. Yeah, just comment back on it because that's, ooh, I love it. Okay, so we got another story. And this story isn't related to crafting. However, this person is on the Making app. I also interact with him on TikTok. They follow Making on TikTok. And they are a rug tufter and like a bunch of other crafts, like very crafty person. So I was like, we'll take it. We'll take it. Okay. So it's Andrea. And on the Making app, they are AG Pletters, Pleters. So she says, here's my story. In college, I was working concessions at the Theater on the Moat, as we likely called it at Texas State, since they've built a new theater and use this one mainly for classes. During the opening night performance of the quote-unquote Scottish play, we had to clean and set up after the intermission concessions and get ready for the opening night reception. The lobby of the theater had a semicircle of columns with benches on either side. Each column also displayed a framed poster from past shows performed. There weren't any other people around aside from myself and my friend running concessions with me. The poster that was directly across from the concessions window was lifted up off the hook. It was on. Hovered in the air for several seconds and then crashed to the ground.
Oh my God.
Full body chills. Thank God. Andrea, this is so good. Okay. So she says, rumor had it that the theater was haunted by Ramsey, a former student who was very distraught over not getting cast in a production of, you guessed it, the Scottish play.
Oh my goodness. That is, wow. What would you do if you saw that?
I would run. I would scream. It would be I would scream. It would not be a cute scream. It would be like the most blood-curdling scream you've ever heard in your entire life. People would probably think that I was like being unalived at that moment. And then I would literally run out. I would probably go back just because in that moment it would be terrifying. But I don't know that I would be there at night or by myself. Like I would need at least 5 people with me at all times. Oh my God, what would you do? What would you do?
I would also definitely scream. Mine would be very pretty, beautiful scream. It would be more theatrical.
Yeah. Theatrical scream.
Oh my goodness, Mr. Ghost. I would be, number one, very mad that I didn't catch it on camera.
Oh, 100%. But
I would be so living for it. So living for it. I'd be like, do it again. Please do it again.
she ends it with, I can't for the life of me remember the show poster that was smashed, though.
I wonder what that her reaction was. She didn't say.
Okay, Andrea, we're going to need some follow-up.
Yes.
Quaylen and I are curious. We need to know.
Did you scream and was it a pretty scream? A theatrical scream.
Please record what your scream sounded like and send us an audio clip to play on the podcast. Or Quaylen can use it in his upcoming song.
Yeah, my new music video.
Okay. So the amazing Elizabeth Miller, who is Paris House on the Making app, and it's P-A-R-R-I-S House, also on Instagram, sent us this amazing email. We absolutely love Elizabeth. She's actually teaching a class on the Making app this Saturday, but it will be too late for anyone to sign up by the time that this comes out. But we're hoping that she'll teach it again. So Elizabeth is the owner and artisan of Paris House Woolworks, and it is a fiber studio in the National Historic District of Paris Hill, Maine. And it is in a 200-plus-year-old house. So it is a haven for all things North American rug hooking. And they host a monthly hook-in, which I really loved that, from 10 to 4 every second Saturday of the month. So if you are anywhere near Paris Hill, Maine, go visit Elizabeth in this house because we're about to tell you some ghost stories about this house.
Wait, 10 to 4 at night or 10 to 4 during the day?
Oh, 10 to 4 during the day. Maybe.
Ooh. Okay.
Okay, Elizabeth.
Because I would also love the nighttime one.
Okay, get this, Elizabeth. We have a free idea for you.
Elizabeth.
10 p.m. to 4 a.m. We're going to come visit and we're going to do some rug hooking.
Yes.
But we're also going to do some ghost hunting.
Jen and I are going to road trip out to Maine and ghost hunt here. We have to.
I feel like it needs to happen. Okay. Are you ready? So first we're going to go into a little bit of history of the Paris house. My goal is to always pronounce everything correctly, just so that everybody knows.
Yes.
And I get very nervous about not doing so. So if you ever hear something incorrect, just know that I've really tried my hardest.
Yeah.
Please don't come after me. Okay. The Paris House, as I said, is in the National Historic District of Paris Hill, Maine, and was built in 1818 and then added on to in 1853 and again in the late 1980s, early 90s. So I wonder if they had that chicken wallpaper. I feel like if it was in the early 1990s, that chicken
definitely
mortar,
did. It had yellow walls and red curtains and eggs in a basket.
Definitely. Okay.
If it didn't, I don't want to know also.
Oh, yeah. We don't want to know. This is how we picture it. And there is no other way. Okay. It is named for Virgil D. Paris, who was a U.S. House member, acting governor of Maine, and U.S. Marshal for Maine at different points in his life. At one point, his family brought Tevukin Paris, a formerly enslaved person, to come live at the Paris House after Virgil Paris had been involved in prosecuting the human trafficking ship Tevukin was discovered on. Dr. Martha McNamara of Wellesley College is currently writing an exhaustive biography of Tevukin for anyone who may be interested in his story. He died of an infectious illness here at the Paris House in 1860 and is buried in the Knoll Cemetery behind our home along with other former residents. The Paris family occupied the house from 1853 until 1945. So to the ghost story.
Yes.
These are bullet pointed out. I love a good organized list. So thank you, Elizabeth. She says, our family has experienced all of the following here. Sometimes we have firmly latched doors open for us when we approach them with our arms and hands full. Very helpful.
That's sweet.
We love a helpful ghost. What a kind spirit. Lullabies being sung heard in one of the upstairs bathrooms, which would have originally been a bedroom.
That is wild. I also wonder if the lullabies are like loud enough to where you can hear which ones it is, or if it's just like general, you can hear kind of musical sound. That's very intriguing.
In the next bullet point, a large green orb appeared to my oldest son in his bedroom.
Ooh.
He put his hand through it and promptly freaked out.
Ooh.
He was just a young teen at the time.
Okay. That's wild as well.
Mm-hmm.
First, I want to know what the orb felt like.
Yes.
Did it have any texture to it? Was it just like sticking your hand out in air? Also, I would be interested in the symbolism of green being the color. I wonder why it was green. Because I haven't really heard of mini orb being like colored green. I've heard of regular kind of white orbs. Whenever I hear about orbs, it's usually just white.
Okay, they've also heard disembodied footsteps on the third floor. Oh my God, this one. Okay. They've had their names called by somebody when no one else is in the house.
Oh my gosh.
Full body chill.
That, oh, I would love that first off, I would think, okay, I need to go see my doctor. This is getting a little, but I would love that.
Quinlan.
That to me is like the top of the peak scariness level.
Oh my God.
Something and is saying your name.
Specifically your name. It's not like a sound or like footsteps. It's they know who you are.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, this one I need to know more about. It's like the shortest sentence of this whole thing. And it just says, full body mist in the attic. We need to know more, Elizabeth.
Does it have a smell to it?
Yes.
We will have to road trip over there.
We're going
to
go over there.
Film everything.
Oh, my God. We have a plan. We have a plan, folks. Oh,
I'll
my gosh.
Stick my hand in the apparition. I will find out the texture. We'll find out the color. We'll find out the smell.
Oh my God.
We need to know everything.
It's so good. My daughter-in-law saw a full-bodied apparition at the end of the upstairs hall near the room we believe Tavukan occupied. Full-body apparition. Oh. Just standing there. So this includes stories that their customers and students that have gone there to learn crafting have said that they've experienced as well. So it's not just them.
Oh my gosh.
It's like the people who are going there to learn the craft.
Oh, I would love that.
Love. Okay. So they have experienced the following. The smell of lavender and other scents in the public rug hooking studio that had no physical source.
Lavender is one of those smells that happen a lot in hauntings, either something that smells really good or something that smells really bad, like a sulfury kind of smell. So I'm glad it's lavender.
I'm glad it's lavender too, because the other one is apparently connected to very bad things.
Yeah.
Lavender's great. Thank you.
Lavender.
Yeah. So somebody experienced the sound of breathing in one of the upstairs bedrooms when a guest was here for a fiber art retreat. One of my sons has also experienced this. Did this person just like run a marathon? Was it just normal breathing? Was it like other breathing?
When I hear breathing, I'm picturing hot breath.
Oh God, on the back of your neck. Oh, it's behind you.
Yes.
Like it sounds like it's right behind you, but you turn around and nothing is there.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I think that's much more theatric than somebody just by like the end of the bed or something.
I ran here to tell you this thing. And
I'm like, okay.
Elizabeth's studio assistant and Elizabeth have seen the following. A woman in 19th century dress on the front stairwell.
Ooh. I personally have never seen anything like visible besides like the lights with my grandma. Mm-hmm. But that's more like a physical, like actual lights that are lighting up.
Yeah.
But I have never seen like an apparition or anything. I would love to experience something like that. That is like peak for me.
Elizabeth, if you have photos that shows any of this, we need to see it. I would love to include it in the follow-up of this. So she says there are things that I can't remember right off, but there have been more. The house is what I would call sporadically haunted. These things don't happen every day, but they'll happen at least a few times a year. We have been here 23 years, and we are on good, affectionate terms with our ghosts.
That's the best way to do it.
I love it. Yeah, she says, we steward the Paris house as they once did, and we are happy to coexist with them. I hope this helps. Thanks for the opportunity to share this fun bit of strangeness about my home and studio. So you can also find Elizabeth at Paris, with two R's, P-A-R-R-I-S, housewoolworks.com. And Elizabeth, get ready because Quaylen and I are about to come visit you.
I'm packing my bag now.
Yeah. I don't know if you can tell, but I've been packing my bag this entire time.
Literally. That is so exciting. I would love to do something there. Stay overnight and see if we could catch anything.
I wonder if there's like a certain time of year that she knows that it like happens, or I don't know, like a certain, does this usually happen at night? What is the, basically when can we come and know that there's a good chance that we would maybe see a ghost or hear some breathing?
And also right now, start knitting a stockinette project and just focusing your intentions that you're going to see something.
Oh my God. Full circle.
I think that if we go in there with our intentions set that we're going to see something and experience something positive, I think that there's definitely going to be something that happens.
Yes.
For sure.
100%. I love this. I love this. Okay. So, Elizabeth, if you decide that you are open to this, just let us know. We'll be there.
For sure.
Okay. So, of course, because we are a podcast about making the app and the act, let's focus on the app a little bit. Every week, we like to talk about a few things that have really inspired us that people have posted in the Making app. So really quickly, if you have no idea what I'm talking about, hi, we are Making and we have an app, and it is a wonderfully crafty social marketplace app. We just launched the marketplace not too long ago, and we're just working on getting a few bugs fixed and adding a few more features. In the meantime, we would love to see what you're working on. I love just scrolling through the feed, and even if I don't do a certain type of craft that is posted, like, everything is so inspiring. It's like really good vibes, like good energy. And I feel like, I don't know, even though, like, I totally believe in what we're doing, otherwise I wouldn't be here, but I feel like there's nothing like it out there. Like, maybe a little bit TikTok, but even then, like, there's still some weird energy that can happen on TikTok.
Yeah. And also, TikTok might not be around too long.
Dear Lord. Yeah. So, hey, go make your profile on the Making app. Currently, we don't have video, but that will change. And when it does change, people will be able to tailor their experience, because we also understand that some people aren't a fan of video, or maybe it's just not great for them in certain ways. Yeah. Anyways, go check out the Making app. It's themakingapp.com. Download and create a profile, start playing around in there, post pictures of your current projects. We just want to see them all. We love it. What have you seen this week that has been inspiring to you, Quaylen?
Like you said too, I'm not just looking for things in my own personal app experience that are just related to my kind of crafts, like knitting and crochet, sewing. I really love looking at pottery in the app. But the main thing that I've really been like looking for currently has been like silversmithing stuff, like jewelry making, really beautiful pieces that incorporate it could be pendants, rings with like jewels. I love the silversmithing that's happening on the app right now.
Yes.
There's one person that I was looking at recently. Let me see. Lika or Lika, L-I-K-A, off the top of my head, but they had some really cute pendants they were working on that I loved.
Oh, there she is. Okay. So it's L-I-K-A underscore push style. L-I-K-A underscore push style. Yes, this person, they have been posting for a little bit. They also post like their baking, and I just love a well-rounded maker. It's awesome. But yes, their pendants are wonderful. We have to give Cindy Chen a shout out. So Cindy posts a lot of her crochet in the Making app. And she's just been posting these crochet dresses. They're so cool. Her handle is CXChen91081. And her dresses are like, they're just so wonderful. And I don't know. She's got style. She's got style, folks. But the other artist is Sammy, and it's Wild Fiber. W-Y-L-D-E-F-I-B-E-R. Everything that she posts is like black or gray. Everything she knits is, I don't know, I'm just like, I like it, I like it, I like it, I like it. Quaylen, I have had so much fun.
It has been a blast.
So we should probably do this again. In the meantime... Absolutely. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And if you have any paranormal stories that are connected to craft, send them to hq@makingco.com, and we'll try and read them on future episodes. And Quaylen, where can everybody find you in the Making app and beyond?
Making app and TikTok, I'm at Quo, Q-U-O-E. On Instagram, I am at Portquolio, P-O-R-T-Q-U-O-E-L-I-O. And my website is quo.us, Q-U-O-E.us.
All right. You're going to definitely come back and be a guest again. So everyone
for
just
sure. I think I have a sneaking suspicion that it might be in Maine.
We're putting it out into the world right now. It needs to happen very much. I love this for us so much. Thank you everyone for watching. It won't be a watching. It's a listening thing. Maybe we just end it here. Thank you. There it is.
To join the amazing community of makers in the Making App, head to themakingapp.com to download and sign up, or head to your favorite app store and search Making. You can listen to the Making Conversation podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. Of course, we'd love for you to subscribe, like, and share with your friends. But also, did you know that you can listen to the Making Conversation podcast in the Making App? Open up the Making App and click Discover. Scroll down to podcasts and you'll see all current and past podcasts listed there. You can listen while you scroll the feed, post details in a project, search through the marketplace, or even just have it out while you're working on your favorite whip. If you've made it this far and you're interested in sponsoring Making Conversation, send us a note at hq@makingco.com and we'll be in touch. As always, thanks for listening and we'll see you in the Making App.
All right, y'all, I'm back. As I was re-listening through that for one more time before I went to go set it up for posting, I do want to note that Quaylen did have people at his house while we were recording, and there were conversations in the background, so you can sometimes hear that. So apologies if you thought that a ghost was having a conversation. As I said, you can hear cats meowing and dogs barking, etc. You can hear planes flying over. So the first one that I wanted to note was at about 1:06, so about 1 hour and 6 minutes in. And Quaylen is just laughing. And there's this very interesting noise that happens over top of his laughter. The other noise that I thought was very interesting was at about 1 hour and 10 minutes in. Now, I'm talking about the San Francisco Art Institute Tower and the guard who's hearing these footsteps coming up the stairs. And all of a sudden, the door swings open. And then it sounds like we've inserted some sort of door sound effect, like an old, I don't know, like metal door. Those are the two things that stuck out to me. And I texted Quaylen videos of the recording. And I was like, what is this anything that is weird to you? Like, am I just like in this too deep? And Quaylen was like, I cannot explain that. So like I said, it might be a glitch in the editing software. It might just be a random noise. You know, the goal of this podcast is to have fun, to talk about the act of making and the app and the community and things surrounding it. And I know that I am never going to be an award-winning podcast editor. Our goal isn't to sound like Serial, that's for sure. But you have to wonder what these noises are. I want to hear what you think. If you heard anything interesting, send us a note at hq@makingco.com. All right, y'all. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.